Good morning. Welcome to the Australian Early Finance Briefing for Saturday, the 22nd of August, 2020. My name's Nick Hurley here in Melbourne, starting with the Oxford University AstraZeneca vaccine, the leading coronavirus vaccine. It's the one that the federal government reached a letter of understanding with during the week. It's worth noting that AstraZeneca has also made manufacturing agreements with Mexico, Argentina, India, a lot of other countries as well. We're certainly not at the front of the pack there. However, I'm doing a bit of an analysis about the production times for these sorts of vaccines. So the literature says that the this vaccine, which now has a name called AZD1222, formerly CHADOX1 and COV19, it is a recombinant adenovirus vaccine, and a typical adenovirus vector-based vaccine that's used in influenza vaccine manufacturing, they can take about 11 weeks to produce. So, that's just, 2.5 months, basically, which gets us to assuming, they can start manufacturing fairly quickly. That gets us to, mid-November for some sort of potential, best case scenario, first production run off the production line for the Australian-made ones. They've mentioned that they can produce the ones that AstraZeneca in the UK are producing, that they've said they can have them ready by as early as September next month. The other more important thing is the phase three trial results. Now, the Times newspaper of India is one of the few media sources actually outlining a timeline for the phase three trial. Most are leaving it very open. They say that the end of clinical trials will be by late November, early December. Now, there's already about 60,000 people around the world with a dose of this vaccine in them. It is mostly, as far as I understand, a double dose trial, so they will need another one. But that lines up perfectly with the manufacturing times, and assuming everything goes well, then it may be a Christmas gift to us all to get a vaccine before the December 25th holiday. Okay, moving to insolvencies now. We haven't had many so far in this deep recession, and that's because, for one reason, is there's a moratorium on insolvencies. So there is no director liability for insolvent trading, and that is going to be extended through to the end of the year. That was announced a few weeks ago. It was originally going to end in September. Now, there's a similar fuss going on in Germany. They have a similar rule. However, there's concern growing there that there's a growing number of so-called zombie firms that could end up sapping the economy there for years to come, the Financial Times reports. So the government waiver introduced in March, similar to ours, German companies which are adversely affected by the pandemic do not have to file for insolvency. That was due to be phased out in September. However, the Justice Minister wants to extend it until March there in Germany. But yeah, it has been very controversial, and many saying it would be better just to let weak companies go to the wall rather than keep them on this artificial life support. A spokesperson for Angela Merkel's party said the waiver was helping firms that would be in trouble even without the coronavirus. So, how these are deemed coronavirus affected seems fairly weak, and it's inappropriate to continue to hold the protective hand of the state over such companies, and it's neither in the interests of other market participants, i.e. competitors, or the company's creditors for this to keep going on. And then the classical free market capitalist point of view is that keeping companies afloat with government subsidies prevents creative destruction, and that's a process described by economist Joseph Schumpeter, in which insolvent companies that go belly up make way for healthier newcomers. So if that's going to happen there, it would be interesting to see what comes out of the moratorium here in Australia, whether we will see a lot of sick, weak companies clogging up the markets for months and years to come, or whether this will mean, you know, companies that are otherwise strong able to keep going and keep their staff and not destroy value that would otherwise happen if they were forced to wind up due to the deep recession. Moving from insolvencies to non-performing loans at banks. Now, with a third of Australasia in lockdown, i.e. Victoria and a lot of New Zealand, the AFR is reporting that many of the big banks aren't really adjusting their provisions for bad loans. So they point out that 90%, or less than 90% of mortgage holders are paying off their loans, i.e. over 10% aren't. Yet the provisions that these banks are applying is a mere fraction of that. So we have the ratio of gross loans and acceptances to total loan book is very low. So ANZ has the smallest at 0.73%, Commonwealth and Westpac are at 0.8%, and NAB at 0.83%. So very tiny there, and it does highlight some of the uncertainty in the market about these big banks, which do form a huge part of the ASX's market capitalization. Certainly something to be very wary of going forward. And an update on the Virgin Australia Airlines takeover saga. So we've had this alternative proposal led by some of the creditors, the Hong Kong and Singapore-based hedge funds, Broadpeak Investment Advisors and Tor Investment Management. They had banded together with quite a lot of other creditors to put forward an alternate proposal, which would have led to the company being listed back on the ASX. However, Vaughan Strawbridge and the administrators at Deloitte had said that they have no legal binding here and that the sale to Bain is final. And there was a court case at the federal court on Monday, and that basically confirmed that. John Middleton, the justice there, held that Virgin Australia's administrators from Deloitte were under no obligation to allow their carriers' creditors, which are owed about $7 billion, to vote on competing proposals at the creditors' meeting. So the creditors really only have two choices at the creditors' meeting, that is to accept the proposal from Bain or not, and if they don't, then the administrators will adjourn the meeting and then conduct an asset sale to Bain. So basically the same thing, however that would probably mean even less money to the creditors. Moving to the markets now, the S&P's opened up, led mostly by tech and financials and some industrial companies. The small cap is down quite a bit this morning. Basic materials and gold are off. And that is your early update for Saturday. Have a great weekend and see you next week.
This podcast is for investment professionals only and should not be relied upon by private investors. The podcast is provided for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial advice. The values of investments can go up or down, so you may get back less than you initially invest.